podcasts. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's around each and every corner. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello, creepies. Welcome to episode 48. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean, Nate, what's going on, brothers?
Nothing too much, brother.
How's it going? Oh,
good. It's going real good.
I've been missing brother, so I'm glad you said brothers.
Did you miss it? You missed the brothers?
Just a little bit.
I'm surprised you didn't go, can you say brothers?
Can you please say brothers? Because I literally missed it.
I did.
So.
I'm such a goober.
We are, we're all doing well then. Yeah.
Yeah. You speaking for us again?
I am.
I like that though. I like it. I'm very congenial tonight.
Well, you said you were.
Mr. Congeniality.
You already confirmed you were.
I know.
It's true story. I was just reiterating.
I've got a little glow over here, right?
It's that.
Make a glow.
make a glow.
Make a glow.
I like to call it the show glow.
Show glow.
The show glow will go on.
It's like.
Oh my gosh, you just did a rap.
That's
a rap.
Show glow.
He's already done the. That's a rap.
Yeah.
We're done here.
We're done? Oh.
We have a whole second part to go.
I was going to say, okay, well, creepies, thanks for joining. We just started, man. All right, yes. I am just so excited to be at the microphone again. So
I am too. It's been a good night already.
Yeah. It has. And what is it, Sunday night? Yeah.
Sunday night, yes. Step closer to our Monday morning, or not Monday morning, dang it. No, we're never going to do Mondays. It's going to be our Saturday morning feel someday, right? Someday when we have time.
When is that exactly?
That just sounds like it's going to be like the perfect time for us. I don't know. Never. not while we have kids.
I don't want to say, never say never, but. I'm going to say never.
Say that you're like, 8 o'clock, guys. It's time to record.
Like, oh, man.
Boo.
Yeah. Hey,
Saturday morning could be like 11 o'clock.
I know. Oh, my gosh. I do love my Saturday mornings, which turn into usually like Saturday afternoons.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and we're glad that the creepies are joining us once again. And why don't we just start? Mr. Sean.
Okay. You want to hear the announcements? Okay.
The announcements?
The announcements, part one. The first thing is, we have merch. I know this is a huge shock to you guys, so don't fall over out of your chairs, but we have our logos on just about anything you can imagine. So go get some.
Oh, I like that. Go get some.
Go get some.
Go get it.
I'm not talking about just you two either.
Now.
But go ahead. You do have a notebook over there. It's really cool.
I do.
Black and white.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say.
Sorry.
You're fine. We got the black and white logo.
So finest frog hairs. Right?
That's right. Finest. That's pretty fine.
I don't know, you like that.
We have the black, not just the typical or the first logo with the red and blue and all that, but we have the black and white. I like the black and white.
We're changing it up, right?
Yeah. Maybe sometime we'll get another two or three logos and, mm-hmm. or different. Yeah. So. But yes, merch.
A little pizzazz.
What do we say? What is it next? Valentine's Day?
What better gift
to give mm-hmm. to your sweetie?
And St. Patty's Day.
Mako merch.
Arbor Day.
Arbor Day. What better way to celebrate
Day
Arbor
now, right?
Day? Go celebrate Arbor Day to buy
a tree.
Your Mako merch. Yeah.
Show Mother Nature you love her with some Mako merch.
And like Sean says, go get some.
Go get some. That's our new motto, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to be in big trouble with our lives. So the next thing we want you to know is that we would like your ratings and reviews and for me to kick my knee against the table. Sorry.
Preferably the ratings and reviews.
Yeah, not so much on the kicking the table, but
it does really help.
It really does. Word of mouth, telling your friends, tell everybody you know. And also, Spotify now has the ability to rate. So look for that. It's actually not that hard to find. I found that very easy.
I think they should switch. Or not.
That's what I mean.
I think they need to add the review part too. I mean,
I'm on iTunes, but I also do the or Apple. You know, the whatever. Mm-hmm. The Spotify. Those are the two.
You do Spotify?
I'm more of a Spotify guy.
For what?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just curious.
Joe Rogan.
Oh, okay.
So just if you have to know.
Yeah.
But that's why.
Is he only on Spotify?
Yep.
Yeah,
he's exclusive. They pay him a gazillion dollars to be on there. So
right.
That's, I used to listen to them on YouTube, and so you can listen to them, but it's all old stuff. And gotcha. Same thing with Apple. Gotcha. You can't watch any of the new stuff. All Spotify. So
okay,
go out there and get yourself some of that too.
Go get you some.
go get some. Sorry, that was. You're welcome, Rogan. The other thing we want to do.
Yeah, we don't need to help him.
I know. He needs zero listeners. He needs zero, but maybe, just maybe someday he'll
maybe a little cross promo with Joe Rogan.
Maybe.
Who's this Rogan guy?
Don't you start. You know that we're in love with him.
Joe Rogan says, go listen to
In a very manly way.
Go get some.
So anyway.
Okay.
He's never going to listen to us now.
I know.
So the main thing we want to talk about, besides all the creepy stuff, all the fun stuff, getting together, blah, 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 all that stuff's wonderful, but we really want to highlight mental health right now. We all need a little bit of help. We found out the last time that I need a little more help than everybody else.
Honestly, all three of us need it tonight.
Yeah, no kidding. We need to put a little push over
the finish line. I resemble that remark.
You do resemble it. I do, too, a little bit more than that. But so giving out the numbers for help, substance abuse and mental health hotline is 1-800-662-4357. The last one, that's help. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline, Veterans Crisis Line, and the Bullying Awareness, it's all in this, is 1-800-273-8255. Last one, that's talk. As far as we're talking about the bullying awareness, there is a website for that, stopbullying.gov. We've decided that that's an important thing to really highlight, too.
Yes,
it's
sir.
A thing. Plenty of bullies out there. Stop it. Knock it off.
It's even worse nowadays because they can do it, you know, not just face-to-face, which is awful.
But social media and internet bullying, absolutely.
Because they can spread,
spread
it more, you know, bad or whatever, made-up stories. And yeah.
I
hate that.
Not face-to-face. It doesn't hurt to type letters.
Yeah. And in all seriousness, it's not cool. It's in all seriousness, just knock it off, right?
I don't like bullies.
So, yeah. So whatever kind of help you need, it's out there. You know, we're here. There are people out there to help you, and there are definitely people at these numbers that will help you. So,
and I'm glad I came across this because my wife bullies me, and you know, no, just kidding, honey.
Amy,
she's so far behind on her episodes; it's going to take her a while.
You've been bullying her, right?
Yeah, I'm like, you know what I said the other day? I said, "Hey, babe," I said, "You know."
I want to know where she's at.
Kind of nice if you listen to our podcast. I mean, because she's like, she's further. Hey, I finished my 82nd. You know, book, whatever that she listens. And I'm like, that is so great. I said, you know, we've got some episodes that you haven't listened to.
She's further than Jenna is, I guarantee you. I can only guess Rachel, too.
Yeah. Does Rachel listen at all?
No.
But you know what?
No offense to us. She doesn't listen to anybody.
Yeah.
See, yeah, that's what Jenna
says. I'm less mad at her because I'm not mad at all.
Jenna says she's just not a pod. She likes to see things instead of hearing them. Like hearing them
to sit there and listen. Yeah.
I think it's my voice that would drive her over the
well,
wall.
Then you're fired.
Yeah, exactly right.
And then,
then Jenna will come aboard.
Yeah. No, I told Amy, I'm like, can you listen to your husband's show? Are we that bad?
Yes,
you are.
Isn't she the one that made the comment, like, I really like that Nate guy?
She's like, you know, what?
That sounds
one out of three is not
fantastic.
Bad. I go, well, thanks, babe. She goes, your name's not Nate.
Yeah, exactly.
I go, well, okay.
Hey, wait a minute.
And again, I said, I resemble that remark.
No, I like him because he doesn't say a whole lot.
No, she did. She does like your laugh. Yeah. She goes, hey, Nate, he's got a great laugh. I said, he does have a great laugh. Yes, he does.
Nate brings it all together. Let's be honest.
And thank goodness for him, or we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, that's true. No, it takes all three of us, more so you two than me, but it takes all three of us to make this triangle.
Well, I didn't want to tell you.
I know, you're like,
we're kind of a big deal.
Today is your last day, by the way.
Here's your severance.
Exactly right.
A lot of zeros.
I was going to say, that's a big goose egg right there.
Yes, sir. You're set. Well, thank you, sir, for all those pre-topics.
My gosh, no problem.
I'll make this quick. I'll say a few episodes, or not episodes. What are they? Announcements.
Yes. Announcements, yeah.
Okay, so we are going to be part of the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show here in Indianapolis.
So exciting.
You know, what is that? 6 months away.
That's not that far.
Getting here.
Yeah. Today. I mean, what's today? 16?
Yeah.
6 months it's from today.
Literally, from today. Yeah.
So July 16th here in Indianapolis, Jerry and Tracy Pauly, the wonderful hosts of Hillbilly Horror Stories, very popular podcast out of Lexington. They do live shows, and they did something very nice for us and the Tragedy of Cinema podcast guys, because they're here in Indy. They helped us get our show started, and they're doing something nice for us and having us be a part of their live show.
I think it's going to be really cool. We were mentioning
mentioned
the wives before. I said to Jenna, she's wanting to go do some kind of a vacation during the summer. And she's like, you know, July would be a really good time. And I said, listen, it's got to be past July 16th. And she keeps saying, what's July 16th? Or before, yeah, too. But
so that does reiterate she does not listen to the podcast.
She's not listening.
I've said it for about 2 months.
And apparently she's not coming. And I was like, yeah, still got time. Yeah. So she's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Like, we'll stop forgetting.
I will tell you that my mom, she's ready to buy her ticket.
Is she coming?
Yeah, she wants to go. Yeah.
Thank you, Carol.
So there's one person.
Hey, I'm Facebook friends with her now.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Carol and I.
So, yeah, July 16th. We want to see anybody and everybody out there, whoever supports us,
that would be.
Horror Stories and the Tragedy of Cinema. I want to meet everybody.
It'd be amazing, honestly. Yeah. You want to sign an autograph, we know.
I know. I do.
You got your a little bit of your fix, and now you're ready to keep the autograph.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, okay.
You're just going to have your hand in the air with a pen, like, who wants an autograph?
They'll be like,
Todd, what are you doing?
I'll just... trying to get the ink ready.
Exactly.
Or what? Never mind.
And the line for autographs is all behind Nate.
That's right.
We're just like, son of a...
No. It'll be fun. It will be.
Yeah.
Yep. So just go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com. Click on the live shows or live event tab, something like that. And then it directs you to the Eventbrite site. And that's how you can order your tickets. $20. It's going to be fun. It's from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Hear us and see us tell, you know, a story, whatever creepy story, and Jerry and Tracy and then Jimbo and his crew. So, yeah, it'll be fun. And I think we're going to have some merch for sale.
Yeah.
We'll bring some merch.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. And then also, we have just started this recently. We are looking for episode segment sponsors. The two segments that you can sponsor at this time is Sean's famous or infamous. Is it famous or infamous,
Ooh,
Nate?
Ooh, it's a little bit of both.
A little bit of both, yeah.
I don't know.
Nate. I don't know.
I wonder what... Nate turns his headphones off.
He's listening to music.
No, I'm listening.
He's I'm listening to music right now.
I don't know
now,
the difference between infamous and infamous.
I think more infamous.
It's probably infamous. I had to guess.
You can sponsor his middle-aged moment.
5149.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You can sponsor his middle-aged moment segment, which is awesome. Or when we do have a guest chat, you can sponsor that as well. And it's $50 per segment sponsorship. And you can email us or message us on Instagram, and I can give you more details on how to work all that out. Mm-hmm. But and we've had Dr. Brian Jackson. Mm-hmm. He's sponsored two segments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two of middle-aged moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just... just a way, like, you know, help the show out, and also we give out your name and business name and all the information, so maybe it helps your business. And
we may just
whether it's e-commerce or if you're a brick and mortar type, you know, business,
we might just gush on you a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
I tend to do that.
Yeah.
If it's my sponsor segment, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, so I think, you could have a, you know, whether it's Etsy or just whatever type of, mm-hmm. E-commerce shop, and then, like I said, if you have an actual business that's...
I like when you say brick and mortar.
I like brick and mortar.
I like businesses, but I like it when you say brick and mortar.
And we have listeners all around the United States and out of the country as well, so...
out of this world?
You know, I wonder... No, I don't think
You're
so.
You're like, don't take it there.
No, I don't think... Not yet.
You still don't think Bigfoot's listening, right?
You what?
You don't think Bigfoot is listening for real?
You know, I think he's got other things to do.
Yeah, he probably does.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, well, you know what, though? He's a big fan of Nate.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Sasquatch.
Cut from the same cloth.
Or we might have some.
Cryptid cloth.
You think we have some, like, aliens out there listening?
That I almost know for sure. I'm pretty
yeah, they probably listen
that.
To our alien segment and like, they got it all wrong.
I know.
They like
not even close to that.
They like those update with Nates. It's an update. Hey, guys, it's update with Nate.
I'm just picturing like an alien up there, you know, an alien family going, hey, guys, it's Wednesday, or, you know, it's Wednesday night. We got to listen to our middle-aged and creeped out episode, you know.
And his Tesla spacecraft.
Ooh,
yeah.
Tesla with his AirPods.
It's possible. Now, wait a minute. I have to admit something. We talked about like Tesla. Remember when we talked about Nikola Tesla? Hadn't been that long ago. We talked about how he does some quirky things, curling his toes 100 times a night.
Yeah.
Remember that one? Don't tell me you did that. I've been trying that every night.
What? Why am I not surprised, Nate?
I'm doing it right now.
Honest to goodness.
Now, but the weirdest, I'm getting these like wonderful flashes of insight, though. Like I'm having these interstellar communications and all this stuff. However,
when are you going to pass them on to the show?
Never. I'm never sharing them. I am getting these pigeon fetishes. I have this. Don't tell Jenna. I have this relationship pigeon named Myrtle.
Myrtle?
Myrtle, yeah.
She, Myrtle a pigeon.
In her language, it's brr, brr. I should probably stop curling my toes is what I'm
on
saying.
On behalf of the Middle Ages Creeped Out podcast, I apologize for anything Sean has.
I'm going to turn his mic off.
I think we should. We haven't. Are we even out of the announcements yet?
I'm just waiting for Nate to go. That's a wrap. Just
we're done.
I really wasn't going to go there. But hey, go listen to the Nikola Tesla mini, a couple minis back, to understand that, because people are going to be like, pigeons? Pigeon Nikola Tesla?
Fetish?
What?
Curling toes? How many?
I know. Yeah. It's funny if you know what we're talking about. But
I don't know. If I curled my toes that many times, I'd end up with calf cramps.
I can't believe I got the pigeon sound. The pigeon sound out right. The
that was pretty good. That was pretty good. That was...
And
spot on. I'll give you that.
Sorry, Myrtle, if I mess it up.
Myrtle the pitch. Hey, Myrtle. Yeah, they mentioned you again on the Miller's and Creep Out.
That was way tangential.
Before we get too crazy.
We're already there.
Yeah. Why not? The last thing I want to say is we have a... So there's a podcast that I found 4 or 5 years ago. It is called Weird Darkness. And the host is Darren Marlar. He does an awesome job. It's so fun. He talks about everything from the paranormal, weird, creepy, a lot of true crime. Mm-hmm. Probably 4 or 5 years ago. And he knows a mutual friend in Jerry Pauley and Tracy. And we have his promo to play for you guys. So here we go.
Bolt your doors. Lock your windows. Turn off your lights, and come with me into the Weird Darkness. I'm Darren Marlar, host of Weird Darkness, where I share stories of the paranormal, supernatural, legends, lore, mysterious, macabre, unsolved, and unexplained. Recently named one of the best storytellers in podcasting for 2019 by Podcast Business Journal. Whether it's ghosts, cryptids, true crime, or creepypastas, you'll find it all in Weird Darkness. Episodes uploaded 7 days a week. Search for Weird Darkness in your favorite podcast app or listen now at WeirdDarkness.com.
So there you go, Weird Darkness. Check it out. Mr. Darren Marlar does an excellent job. I love listening to his podcast.
Very cool.
And the cool thing about him, he does one. He puts an episode episode out every day. Every day.
Wow, that's a lot of work.
That guy's
too
busy, and he's got such a great voice. He's a pro. You know, he's kind of like I put Darren and Mike Brown in the same category. Mm-hmm. They sound great. They do awesome. Their podcast are just you could listen to Darren read the phone book just like
mine. There are certain voices that just suck.
Yeah, I'm very very jealous, cool. Very envious. No, but Darren's a great guy. He is a mental health advocate.
That's awesome.
He's been very open about his struggle with depression and, mm-hmm. and anxiety. He does, and a cool thing, he's like Jerry. He has a heart for people. He does a lot of he'll take donations and do a lot of fundraisers for different organizations and just a great guy, great person.
Yeah.
So go check out Weird Darkness. I'm a fan. Like I said, 4 or 5 years I've listened to his actually him and Hillbilly Horror Stories were probably the first two or three that I listened to ever, mm-hmm. this type of podcast. So yeah. So go check it out. And then
I'm honored to be part of, having him connected with us. I think
absolutely.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. So with that said, Mr. Sean, what do we got for the listeners?
Well, we got part two of Jack the Ripper.
Oh man.
Ripper, to be very clear. we laid this foundation guy on part one.
I thought H.H. Holmes was wearing us out.
Oh my gosh.
This guy.
I've been looking forward to this for some time, and I have listened to so much stuff on it, because I think all of us, like, we feel like we know something, and then we look into it, and we're like, had no idea. There are so many little...
That's true.
Little fascinating tidbits that you find out, and... like that whole idea of the hangover. Like, how in the world
that
did
is
I come across that?
These little things.
I just love it.
I finally did come across that.
Did you really?
And
that wasn't making it up.
I think to get a room, it was 4 pence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to sleep on the hangover was 2 pence. So if you couldn't afford the room,
but you just go to the hangover.
Yeah, you just hang on the hangover.
It looked extremely uncomfortable.
Well,
but
sure
when you're drunk, I guess it doesn't matter. But I would think you would cut off the circulation to yourself. But I don't. It's just, who knows? They have rope beds anyway. Like, that's what a bed was. It's a bunch of ropes, and you tighten them.
Some
and that's
straw
why the whole sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite. That's like a real thing.
Yeah.
You know,
really happened. True story.
Keep it tight, or it was uncomfortable, and there really were bed bugs.
Right.
And don't let them bite.
Yeah.
So we got into a lot of information about, you know, what the thing is, a lot of people have covered Jack the Ripper and his history and the suspects and the victims and all that kind of stuff, but nobody has covered it quite like we have. You know, everybody's got their own way of doing it. And of course, the three of us always have an interesting way of doing things. So
we're all over the place.
We are all over the place. Wait, what was that?
More ways.
What was that? What? You should hear. Yeah, we should have recorded the in-between and before.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe a little inappropriate. I wanted to start this off. Let's start this off because Nate hadn't heard this when I first got here. I was asking him before you got here.
Yeah.
This is a wild conspiracy. I'm going to credit Sir Arthur Conan Doyle for this one, the author of Sherlock Holmes, right, the inventor. Mm-hmm. He had a theory that it wasn't Jack the Ripper, but it was a bloodthirsty, mad midwife, and it was actually Jill the Ripper.
Oh.
She was the murderer. So we had
Jill
it wrong.
The Ripper.
Jill the Ripper instead of Jack the Ripper. Now, this is... and. As I understand it, unless I misunderstood this in some kind of a gag, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle felt like that was the way the case. People were looking at it all wrong. It was an actual female. Now, Nate and I did talk about this, and it's like, that's pretty unlikely that it would have been a female. Like, why would a female mutilate another female? That time of, you know, in that era, like, that seems very unlikely unless she was unhinged. How many females would have been... you know, had a medical mind or any kind of surgical mind or even...
Well, it's just, I mean, not that they could be, but just back then.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I know what you're saying. I just want the listeners.
So that's to me,
yeah.
but it's an interesting theory. So let's think about Jill the Ripper.
Okay.
Again, that may be about as far as I can take that, but...
I have my thoughts already, but go ahead.
I don't quite buy that, but when I saw that, I was like, that's kind of weird and kind of cool. So I had to bring that up.
Well, that's the interesting thing of Jack the Ripper is just... If you
can
think of a story, I mean, there's a new conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, I mean, there is no definites. I mean, there was the man or woman, and these murders did happen. They happened in a certain fashion. That's about all we know.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I have not heard that. I did not know anything about.
I thought that would be new to
Jill the Ripper.
I happened upon that accidentally too, like The Hangover.
Okay, so before I assume you have more information why he says that or why he okay.
I really do.
Oh, okay.
I was like, we can stop it there
because I was like, okay, because so I look at it this way. If
no, it's
I mean,
one of the,
anything's possible.
It was one of those crazy, like, it was on one of the videos, actually. I wrote it down real quick because I was like, that sounds wild. But they were like some of the, that was along the idea of Lewis Carroll being, you know, some ideas.
So you have to look at, okay, well, then what would be the motive for a woman to kill other women? Because you would figure, I mean, not that everybody got along, and there probably were rivalries. But, I mean, back then, you know, I would think women would try to, you know, kind of, look out for each other because it was such a man's world and them trying to get by in a man's world trying, you know, so they're, but then again, maybe there was competition. Maybe she was trying to eliminate.
One thing I do remember.
I'm trying to think of any reason why a woman would kill another woman.
There's one, I can't answer the why, but they're saying that one thing that I do remember them saying about this theory is that a woman covered in blood who was a midwife could have easily slipped through a crowd at any time of the day or night unnoticed because they're like, oh, she's been delivering babies. Not a big deal. So she was slashing women in a crazy psycho killer. It could have been an easy, like, oh, I'm a midwife. No big deal. Yeah. And so
Sweeney Todd.
It's Sweeney Todd, exactly.
Meat pods.
Mm-hmm. Pies.
Sweeney Todd came not up. Pods. this is not the Tide Pod Challenge. It's meat pie.
Right. I could buy. I doubt. So I would say, yeah, I'm about 0.1% that I think Jill, there's a Jill the Ripper. But it is very fascinating and interesting. I never heard that theory. And yeah.
The one that we brought up, I know, on earlier, and we talked about, you have to go back into the H.H. Holmes to look at it. But I still find that one interesting. I'm not 100% sold on that one. And we talked about
on
it. On H.H. Holmes, how he is considered the American Ripper. You know, yeah. With all his background, again, go listen to our, you know, we talked about him in depth, so we're not going to talk about him again
around
in depth.
Same time frame.
Yeah, same time frame. Mm-hmm. They said that he wasn't in London. There's no accounts, but there was. He did have journals, supposedly, that he documented. These, I know. And Todd doesn't believe it.
I'm giving the big thumbs down.
I am not 100%.
There's a lot against it, yes.
There's a lot against
definitely.
It.
Definitely. But they say that he wrote a letter to his lawyer saying it was difficult to get the New York Times in London, and it was around this time. So it's like, well, he was in London. There, people say that this was his warm-up for all the craziness he did in Chicago and around other parts of America, too, but the United States. But his grandson, Jeff Mudgett, is very much about trying to figure that out. I think the most interesting thing with that one was, we talked about the Dear Boss letter and the From Hell letters. There's a bunch of letters, and a lot of them mm-hmm. were seen as hoaxes or just people yeah. trying to rile up the media, it was the journalists and the media trying to rile themselves up and the police. But the Dear Boss and the From Hell letters legitimately did look real. The From Hell letter is fascinating. Number one, it's got a lot of grammatical errors and misspellings. So
it does. I'm looking at it right now.
Would an educated person write this letter? Well, maybe they would if they were trying to throw you off the scent.
Like, but they spell kidney, K-I-D-N-E.
Mm-hmm. So
they forgot the one.
Kidney. So, but they did. That From Hell letter came with a bloody kidney.
And
said,
right.
I basically ate the other one, I may send you the bloody knife later if you're lucky, kind of thing.
Because of all the, how people wrote back then, very, mm-hmm. To me, the handwriting in this letter isn't like super formal, but you can still tell there's a little bit in it, and it's cursive, it's mm-hmm. sort of hard to read.
Yeah, there's an art to it, right?
Yeah.
I bloody can't read it.
Bloody well can't.
No. I don't buy the HH just because the way he killed people, or the reasons were more for money, just greed.
The only thing that was interesting was with that. No, and I agree with you. The matchup was that Dear Boss letter, and they said the H.H. Holmes writing was like a 95% to 96% matchup, which is very, very hard to match.
I remember
that. You, RLR writings wouldn't even be close to it, so it'd be really hard to come that close. And it's not like H.H. Holmes was like, ooh, I'm going to try to match his writing. He would have had no idea. That to me is probably it makes it interesting in that he was a medical doctor and had medical background. But yes, I think it's still a wild, pretty far-fetched theory. I'd love to hear more. I've heard Jeff Mudgett. I've listened to a couple of videos on him when we were covering H.H. Holmes. But yeah, I'm not completely 100% sold. There are other suspects that are out there that seem a little bit more legit.
And I don't want to badmouth him.
No, not at all.
I'm not really trying to say like he's trying to get any notoriety or anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying like, I think he's wanting it to be so bad, thinking it's not that it's cool. I mean, I would hate to have my,
he's trying to put his family history to rest.
Yeah.
Too, and I get that.
I just don't buy it. And I listened to, a podcast, last night, or what is Sunday? So yeah. Okay. It would have been Saturday night. There's this guy, we're talking 1850s, 60s, somewhere in California, so the old West type, you know. And this guy was, he was a killer, but he was kind of a cross between, man, really, now that I'm thinking of it, H.H. Holmes and Jack the Ripper. He had actually killed six people that they know of, but he also was greedy, like H.H. Holmes, where he was after money. And so he would mm-hmm. he would falsify like wills and document, you know, and so to get these people's money, right? He would go through the obituaries to see what prominent people died. And he would find their their information, and he would find documents, what they wrote or whatever. Anyway, he would spend hours doing their writing until he had it down perfect. Mm-hmm. And it went past all these different court, people that work in the court system and authorities and all. It can be done. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that, I'm just saying, it's just kind of funny. Yep. When I get it, it'd probably take me, maybe I never get to the point where I could duplicate it. Mm-hmm. But there are people that can do it, yeah. And so I'm like, this guy was, they said he was spot on too. He would, but he always went after wealthy people that just died and tried to get their money. But it's not like,
it's an interesting theory, but
it's
I
not
agree.
Like he's the
it's
only
not,
one in the history of the world that can
solid,
mimic.
No.
One of the other suspects, and we talked about him on the first part, was Walter Sickert.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I like that last name, Sickert.
He's a painter, and the argument lies in DNA evidence apparently collected from the Ripper letters that matches DNA found on the letters written by Sickert. But, however, given that many or perhaps all the Ripper letters were thought to be hoaxes, this cannot be conclusive. But his DNA is on some of the letters.
Well, that's why, it's interesting. Could he have been, or could he have been one of the hoaxers, right?
Yeah.
They're talking about DNA evidence there that one of the guys that they thought maybe did it was Kaminsky. He was previously named as a suspect over 100 years ago. Once again, he was talked about with DNA with the which one was it? Jack the Ripper is believed to have killed at least 5 women. They say they ran genetic tests on a silk shawl that was stained with blood and semen that investigators say they found next to the body of the killer's fourth mm-hmm. victim, Catherine et al's. So they said they found DNA evidence of et al's on it, and they found Kaminsky's blood DNA as well on there. So that's where they think that he, at least now forensically, could have been the killer. He's the Polish barber.
Yeah.
So that's why they're like, oh gosh, but yeah, they say that. The police officer picked that up for his wife. She was disgusted by it because it's like, it's got blood on it. That's disgusting. But they kept it as a family heirloom and it survived throughout all these generations. And then they're like, it is interesting, but they say that there's no, as many hands as that's passed through.
Well, they said it was
very tainted evidence.
They'd whip it out for they'd have a house party or people guest. And they were fascinated.
Check this out.
Yeah, that's what they do. And so how can they evaluate it now? Or look at it because there's just so many.
So that's why a lot of people discount that as an actual piece of evidence, right?
Correct. Yeah. I'm drawing a blank, and I have my notes, and I erased. Who was the guy I said? I think because he was a medical doctor or whatever, and he was
the same guy from St. Louis.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he was in London around that same time, and he was crazy.
He's the one that I know. He's your quack. Number one suspect. Yeah.
Yeah. Tumbledy.
Tumbledy. Mm-hmm.
Francis Tumbledy. I think that
you
guy,
just like his name.
Tumbledy.
That might have been his vacation.
I'm telling you. I think because he was documented. He was arrested several times during that time and just were crazy. Yeah.
The thing is, and you can, this is really simplistic, but it's like, okay, who are they not going to miss around here? Prostitutes.
Oh yeah.
Who's gonna even flinch? Nobody. No. I can go have me.
And
some,
that is the sad part
fun.
Of being, these women that they're just discounted. Nobody's gonna miss them.
But the thing is, I hang up on is the murders. The bodies were just so meticulously displayed.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're just killing to have fun, just the thrill of killing somebody, I don't think you'd take that time to display it.
There was a message.
You just want
to
kill
too.
It. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Kill and
display
move
it.
On.
But if you're of an intelligence and an IQ where you're just kind of trying to flaunt it too, there's a possibility that you're just a sick, sick individual,
No, I really don't think you can describe whoever this person is any other way. I like the word diabolical.
Yeah, diabolical.
No, but seriously, you just kill these poor women, and then you just display their bodies. Yeah, like we talked about in the first episode. Can you imagine coming up upon these scenes? Like you might have seen just people stabbed or shot, but to be dissected basically and having all these you know, their parts out and removed, and
it's more than disturbing.
It's not just
right?
blood. It's just not a bloody body. It's just what there was more. It was just
it's mutilated.
Yeah, and mutilated in a precise
Surgical manner.
Surgical manner.
I thought it was interesting that guy that was
terrible.
That local meat cart driver, and I'm pretty sure, like I said, probably wouldn't have been a local meat cart driver.
Right.
His name is Charles Allen Lechmere.
Chucky?
Chucky, yeah. Chucky Leek. Cal, I guess you could call him, right?
Yeah.
That's right. He went along that Ripper's, you know, all the Ripper victims. That was his. I don't know what all those sites were along his, you know, meat wagon. Yeah. Route. Mm-hmm. And, he was there with the first murder. So Polly Nichols, when he talked to police, he gave a false name. He called himself Charles Cross.
Would he do that?
Well, that's what they looked at him as a possible, you know, one of the Ripper, one of the Ripper suspects. For a while, and then they decided there's no way. But why would he give a false name? I don't know. I don't know that they ever figured that out or why he would do that. But so he was under the microscope for a minute. But like I said, I think he was one of the I don't think this is somebody that's, even though he knows the route, he knows probably how things are moving and where people are at certain times. Probably get in and out of there pretty easily, with nobody thinking anything about it. Obviously probably knows how to, you know, he's a butcher type person that knows his way around, you know, at least cattle. Would he know his way around people? Probably not. Not to that degree anyway, right. But who knows? So I thought that was interesting.
Did either of you, I know we mentioned his name prior, but talk about Montague Druitt.
Mm-mm.
He's one of the common cited suspects too. He's the barista and teacher.
Mm-hmm.
With interest in surgery, who was said to be insane and who disappeared after the final murders and was later found dead.
Oh.
Interesting.
So that would have stopped murders.
That would. that would certainly do that.
That was one of the thoughts, is that they, you know, eventually the Ripper committed suicide or died of syphilis. You know, there's all kind of different ways.
Yeah, an ailment.
This could have stopped or been put into an insane asylum.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Or moved out of the country.
Aaron Kaminsky.
Or moved back to their country, whichever, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's where they thought. And some of them just didn't fit the profile. Like, this isn't the profile that we're looking for. And then that's why they got so disregarded.
Did you didn't mention Carl Feigenbaum, did you? Feigenbaum?
No.
So I said another likely, because a lot of these I had heard, but then obviously there's a bunch I hadn't. But Carl Feigenbaum, that's a heck of a name. Another likely suspect behind London's Jack the Ripper murders was the 54-year-old German merchant sailor, Carl Feigenbaum. Carl was known to be a psychopath who confessed to mutilating women, and even his own lawyer believed that his client was Jack the Ripper.
Oh, wow.
Carl went by many aliases during his lifetime and was known to be working as a merchant on ships that had been docked near Whitechapel. Records prove that Feigenbaum was working in Whitechapel on every single date of the five Jack the Ripper murders in London's East End, and he and his co-workers were often seen at the nearby brothels as well. After Feigenbaum immigrated to America sometime around 1890, so that's what, 2 years after the murders, he was convicted of murdering a woman by the name of Juliana Hoffman and was sent to the electric chair for the crime. Experts also stated that there were striking similarities between London's Jack the Ripper murders and the slaying of Hoffman. That's pretty interesting.
It really is.
Pretty close. Mm-hmm. That's and if he's hanging around the Whitechapel area and psychopath, murder. Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Carl, man.
They said, I know at one point some eyewitnesses felt like they saw who they thought was Jack the Ripper, and that they that he had brown eyes and dark hair, and that's how they got these descriptions. You know, a lot of people that thought they saw, and they put it all together as this dark figure that we see. I think it's interesting. I don't know if you guys saw much. I know this is where we try to go to. But ghosts of the East End, Jack the Ripper and his victims. London has many ghosts, just like any other area. The East End of London is full of tales and legends of apparitions and specters. Today, we are going to look at several of these stories that are connected to the notorious Jack the Ripper and his victims. The Ripper murders occurred in Whitechapel and what is it, Spitalfields in the autumn of 1888. So most of the ghost stories are connected to the murder sites and surrounding areas. I did watch some. They have like ghost hunters that will go to some of these different the businesses and these workhouses and all these different lodges and stuff. And it's there was one place that had kind of little areas that was in remembrance of each of the five victims.
Yeah.
And they said that it was just, and they did like overnights to investigate, and it was so spooky, and they got some chilling stuff on there. But this says that they do, they, a lot of people talk about the ghost of Mary Ann or Polly Nichols. The first canonical victim of the murder known as Jack the Ripper was Mary Ann Polly Nichols, a 45-year-old woman who was murdered in Bucks Row, Whitechapel, on the 31st of August, 1888. Bucks Row was renamed Durward Street after the murder. The author Elliot O'Donnell, famous for writing about and seeing ghosts, described an apparition that was often seen in Durward Street as a huddled figure like that of a woman emitting from all over, or emitting from it all over, was a ghostly light frequently to be seen lying in the gutter.
Oh.
Hmm.
They also have the ghost of Annie Chapman. So same kind of thing. Ghost of Annie Chapman, second Ripper victim, seems to be the most active of all of them. Her ghost was seen in various spots in and around Hanbury Street, which is where she was killed on the 8th of September, 1888. So it's like seeing these ghosts is not surprising.
No.
There's also the ghost of Mary Jane Kelly. So they people see that one. The ghost of Elizabeth Stride is seen. The ghost of Catherine Eddowes is seen. So, and they show a lot of times it's around where they were murdered, obviously, is where people are seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most interesting, though, is they believe that there's the ghost, because you think, well, how are you going to know who Jack the Ripper is? So the ghost of the murderer himself. And not only Ripper's victims are said to haunt the areas, several suspects have been seen or sensed. In the cellar of White Hart Pub on Whitechapel High Street, a medium once sensed the presence of a man who had a lot of hatred against women in him, and then his name was George. He was picked up by the medium. George was George Chapman, whose real name was Severin Kolowski. He worked as a barber in the cellar of the White House, or the, sorry, the White Hart Pub in the 1890s, and became famous for poisoning three of his wives. Some believe that he might have been the Ripper. The White Hart Pub is also close to the former George Yard buildings, where Martha Tabram, who I talked about in the first part, was murdered on the 7th of August, 1888. Though not considered a Ripper victim, some believe her to be murdered by the same man as the canonical five. The final spot is not in the East End. In fact, it is a couple of miles west, Westminster Bridge. On New Year's Eve, a figure is said to emerge from the shadows and throw itself into the Thames, or the Thames. Where is the Ripper connection, you might ask? The legend goes that Jack the Ripper killed himself there on New Year's Eve of 1888 by plunging into the river and was therefore never caught. There is a true story behind that. Ripper suspect Montague John Druitt, which you just talked about, drowned in the Thames, or Thames, however you say that. Montague John Druitt was first mentioned as a likely subject for the Whitechapel murders in 1894 by Chief Constable Melville McNaughton, who wrote his memorandum that Druitt was said to be a doctor of good family who was disappeared at the time of the Miller's Court murder and whose body was found in the Thames on the 31st of December. So it's interesting, you know, it's like, well, is that how all that stopped? But I thought it was, I wanted to look up hauntings and see all that. So,
oh yeah. Anytime we can,
I mean, the victims kind of and find, because I didn't think about like, oh, they're not going to be able to find an actual Jack the Ripper, but they think that some people believe anyway, that it is, it's still around and it is still present, you know, and oh gosh, that to me gives me the biggest chills.
Here's another theory I found. Little confusing, but there are a number of theories that suggest that Jack was always targeting his final victim. Another victim, Catherine Eddowes, used the name Mary Ann Kelly the night she was killed, suggesting that Jack mistook her for his intended victim. So after the murder of his last victim, Mary Kelly, the murders came to an abrupt halt.
Well, see, an abrupt halt, you say.
And that, like I said, that would explain why they stopped. But other people say, oh, no, there are a lot of more murders. He was probably a lot like what they suspect. They say there was a good video between, like, juxtaposing Jack the Ripper and the Zodiac Killer. and kind of who was worse and who would win if there was a battle of the serial killers. And in this video, they said Jack the Ripper by far, at least as far as the being infamous. But they said the Zodiac Killer is suspected to have many more victims, up to 37 or who knows more.
Right.
But they said that as far as cruelty and really, you know, being such a mystery, they were saying Jack the Ripper would be.
I would agree.
Would win.
Yeah. I mean, Zodiac's pretty intriguing.
There was no rap battle. I wanted a rap battle.
A rap battle, yeah.
It's got to be out there. Maybe we need to make it.
Yeah. Okay, JTR, what you got? and then, you know, you got, and Zodiac, he shot most or all of his victims.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Which is not any better, but I'm just saying.
No.
But he shot him and moved on.
There was an interesting, this is kind of an aside about him, but there was an interesting thing about the Zodiac Killer. He killed a taxi driver.
Mm-hmm.
People saw him, and he was, they said there was a Caucasian man.
Misidentified him.
Yeah, they said they feel like he was a 5'10" Caucasian man, but they said that they were looking, and, you know, 60, I think the year was like 67, 69, somewhere in there. And they said that they were on the lookout for an African-American just because, you know, they're being racial profiling. So they weren't even paying attention to this guy. And they're like, they probably could have had him.
I've heard that multiple times.
So same with Jack the Ripper. Very close calls of, hey, we probably could have had him had it just even been seconds, you know.
And that was just like, and it's probably like, that's the time to get him or you're not.
I saw a lot of things saying a lot of people are almost certain that he was a resident of Whitechapel. But it's like, was he? You know.
You would think it's somebody that knows schedules, but maybe not. Like, it could be somebody
or
that
knows
just
areas how to get away.
Maybe just
maybe
right
side alleys and
or knows just human behavior. You know, and that's the other thing. I mean, if you see a lot of drunken people, you're like,
well, and there's
ain't nobody gonna notice anything.
That time of London. I mean, there were plenty of dark spots around the streets.
Yeah, that's right.
So it wasn't hard to find a secluded dark area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never thought about that. Like, you know, was he a resident or just somebody that was
just visiting from St. Louis?
An American.
I'm telling you. Tumbledy.
You could. Yeah, absolutely. I had a couple questions.
Nate's on board. He's on the Tumbledy board.
You know,
I'm on board for all of them.
I know, yeah. Well, I like
Tumbledy more though right now.
I still like the name. The Tumbledy name's cool.
I know.
The Tumbledy Project.
One question I wanted to pose was, is it possible in these modern times to have a Jack the Ripper? Whether it be in London or here, Plainfield, who knows? Would it be possible to have a Jack the Ripper? I know that we have modern day forensics and all that kind of stuff, but there's still a possibility for serial killers and people killing, but somebody that just has that bloodlust that wants notoriety and to get it. I'm not suggesting that anybody go out there and be Jack the Ripper, but
I'd
is it possible?
Yeah.
You think so?
I don't think they'd last long. I think the authorities will be on their heels real quick.
Right.
I mean, all you need to do is no one see you,
mm-hmm.
and be quick about it, and move on. Leave no evidence.
Yeah, was this
so? If you're wearing gloves,
ego
driven.
Are you just saying like, could somebody kill 5 or 6 people within a 2 month or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Or you're saying like to be so still 140 years later, still not. I don't think that would. I think
that's what I'm saying.
Go 140 hours.
No, I think someone would get caught more likely today.
I do. I think you're right. I'm just wondering if somebody that had a big enough ego that would go out there and do that. And you're right. That's what I'm saying is have notoriety all these 137 years later. You know, what I mean?
I think they'd get caught pretty quick.
Yeah,
because you could. I mean, you could kill. Yeah, like I said, kill a number of people and you know do it and leave
then
or
just stop.
Or just stop.
Leave. Yeah. Yeah.
But they'll get caught.
Disclaimer: I am not encouraging this. This is out for discussion.
Yeah,
anyway.
Middle Asian creep out is
not responsible for any Jack the
Ripper. We are not endorsing
serial. No. It's just fascinating.
What you ought to do is
no. My other question is: would we?
You have to have a really sharp knife.
We have a running.
Let me suggest.
We have a running list that we're making. Would we investigate this area? Would we go to London, hang out in the East End?
Yeah.
Go do some overnights, do some daytime investigations. What would we do?
I would
daytime,
love to
visit. Nighttime.
Yeah.
Do a ghost tour.
I've read a thing.
There's a ton of ghost tours.
Yeah. I read a thing.
Mike Brown said he did, right? He said he did a Jack the Ripper tour.
Yeah, I've read a thing that like all the murder scenes are big hot spots for tourism and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I would, hands down, 100% yes. Oh, yeah, I would love to go to Europe. I'd love to go to England. I know, it's a stupid question, but hey, we always ask. Don't we always ask?
Hey, would we want to go to London? And yeah.
Why are we not? Here?
What? Hey, we're doing it for the
listeners. You know what? No. I know. I'm just kidding.
It's gonna, so we're moving it up to number one. Is it bumping everybody else? Maybe not.
Turd is still number one.
Turd is number one, baby.
I don't even know why we'd go there. I can't remember what the heck. It's been so long. Yeah, no, it'd be awesome to go there. And
it really would. No, I'm like I said, hands down.
Well, and there's more in London than just that.
Okay, you know? To broaden that question a little bit, would
Big
you?
Ben.
I know with the three of us would
look,
go.
Kids, Big Ben.
Would you go and do this by yourself? Would you go and do that kind of stuff by yourself?
Oh yeah,
walk
would
around
you
and look.
Yeah,
I'd go by myself.
Yeah,
would you?
Well, this would be more interesting with. Others, I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Someone to talk to.
This is different.
Like, would you
going
do an Aaron Ignatz and like, okay, I'm gonna do this
well,
by myself.
Because it's
and
like
you're not confined in a building,
right.
With one way out of a room.
Like, it's like if you're saying, would you go to Waverly by yourself? No, no way. As I talk,
but you're out in the
no, not by myself. No, yeah. Because you just too much can happen. Even if it, forget the paranormal stuff, like you. It's pitch black there, and you can't see if you hurt yourself or whatever. Yeah. I want somebody.
I would
want
to go, but I would seriously.
Heck
would
yes.
I would want to do this with not by myself.
Well, it'd just be more fun, like Nate said.
True.
As far as like scared. Oh
my
no,
gosh,
there wouldn't be any.
No. Yeah. It'd creep me out. I admit.
I don't think it'd be creepy. I think it'd just be not like a scary creep. It'd just be like, wow, can you believe this? 1888.
Yeah.
These poor women. This guy that never got caught did you know? And here's the place.
And it happened
just
right here.
Yeah. That would be the. The feeling I would get. Mm-hmm. But, no, I get, yeah.
Well, it's just like when we went into Bobby Mackey's, went down and saw the well. It's like, man, this happened like right here.
This
that's
guy.
Wild.
This
yeah.
Guy Carl.
Dug this up. It's weird to be. Yeah.
Speaking of Carl.
So much history back there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that it's weird to be in those places.
That's the way I look at it. Yeah. I would look at it just like, oh my gosh, like what a time that these people had to be like, who's next? Yeah.
Yeah.
And knowing these women had to do whatever they needed to do to survive just for a night.
They weren't safe and they couldn't get
not safe.
Safe
at all.
Yeah.
Not safe at all, you know. Even if like, well, I want to get into real quick and then we, I want to name a few movies that were inspired by Jack the Ripper.
Please do.
Is it called Jack the Ripper?
Well, huh?
The movie.
Here's
what kind of question is that, Nate?
No, Nate. Here's
I'm the one with the stupid questions.
No, Nate. No, check this out. This movie was made. It's called Jack the Ripper.
Oh, yes. I knew it.
JTR.
Then there's a movie called Ripper Named Jack. The Ripper Named Jack. No. You threw me off there, Nate. That gone you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
It's not difficult to do, right?
Now, because I am middle-aged, creepies, I know you can't see me. I'm taking my glasses off so I can see.
Okay. Oh, he's serious now.
Okay. The first one is called Jack the Ripper.
See?
Jack the Ripper. There's one, the year I was born, 1971. Not 1871, 1971. Called Hands of the Ripper.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Then there's one in 1927 called The Lodger, A Story of the London Fog. And then there's The Lodger. Okay, that was 2009. Here's one called Ripper, Letters from Within. Looked like that. Terror at London Bridge. I don't know where. I don't know how this. I just saw this and going through the Shanghai Nights. Okay, I don't understand why
Shanghai
that would be.
Nights.
I've never seen it. I know of the movie. But okay. And here's one called.
I can't remember.
Let's see here. Sorry. The Legend of Bloody Jack. Okay. Another movie remake 2016 called Jack the Ripper. Then there's The Ripper, The Phantom Fiend, and then where was that one I just saw? Edge of Sanity. That one looks kind of creepy. Okay, Dr. Strangelove. I don't get that one. Where was that one? Sorry. I lost my. Anyway, those are a few movies that they're just
from hell.
Well, I wasn't going to get to that.
Oh, sorry.
I was looking at trying to look like 1970s and 20s, 30s. Yeah, but I did not save the page. So yeah, and then there's the one that I just borrowed the movie from Nate not too long ago, From Hell with Johnny Depp.
Oh my gosh,
excellent movie.
It is good.
Yeah, very good.
I don't know why I hadn't seen it until just now.
It's,
I mean, it was like 2000 or 2001 or something.
Bilbo did it.
It does a really good
spoiler.
It was good.
Good way of like trying to take majority of the information known and just sort of putting it into a movie form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, take it for what it is. It's still Hollywood.
Right. It's very Hollywoodenized. That's a made up word, but still, that's which is good. It's excellent. It really is.
2001 From Hell. Yeah. Good cast. I mean, you know, I mean, Johnny Depp's an excellent. You had Heather Graham and Ian Holm and a lot of good actors. Yeah. So From Hell. I just saw that recently. So. Yeah, so there's some movies that were inspired. I don't get Shanghai Nights, but I think what's the deal with that?
I think it because it's Shanghai Nights, so it's in Britain and with Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson. I think they like reference the Ripper and all that kind of stuff. So it's
I literally looked up Jack the Ripper inspired movies, and
Dr. Strangelove would be very loosely based.
I'm like, Dr. Strange. Yeah. I was like, I see the Ripper, and I'm like,
they might
what?
See the really big board.
Shanghai. Dr. Strange. Okay. So, anyway.
Yeah. I think it's just like a brief mention towards Jack the Ripper in the movie or something like
that. Okay.
I don't get the correlation. A movie about Jack the Ripper.
Well, yeah. I was like,
it's a comedy.
Yeah, I was like, what the heck? Owen Wilson and what's his name? Jackie Chan. Jackie the Ripper. See where I went there? See what I went?
There, you do your sound effects much better.
Judy chop to the throat.
Judo chop.
Oh, my goodness, Jack the Ripper.
He might have worn us out a little bit.
Yeah.
Why do we do these two parts, man? Woo!
Between him and H.H. Woo! Doggy.
Who's going to be our next two-parter? We're going to have to put some...
Not good guys.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a break for the next two-parter.
Yeah, that was a good...
It was good.
If you have any more, Jack.
I'm Al.
The Ripper'd out.
Yeah, me too. JTR'd out.
JTR'd out. That's good.
That's how the kids talk.
You know, and talking about the Ripperologist, that I had never heard that term until just, you know, kind of recently. And
right.
It just cracks me up because, I mean, these people really...
They get into it, yeah.
Really get into it.
They would be serious about some of the things we said, and they would laugh at some of the things we said, and they would I have some more information, but this is just
we're not
experts, like we've said many times. We are interested in this subject. We have touched some surface level stuff. We got deep on some other stuff, but this gives you just enough, like, oh man, I want to go look into some of this stuff.
Deep dive files.
You could pick all the suspects, and you could probably do an episode on
drown.
Them.
Is that why?
Then you could literally. Go through all the victims and their background and their life.
It gets deep.
If you go deep enough, distance between murders.
I think our listeners know kind of what we're doing, but I think I'm always afraid like that one person, the new listener, is going to go
finish the story.
Oh, I'm a ripper.
I'm just
Sean. He's going to go finish the story.
I hit a nerve.
Why'd you leave it out? How come you didn't?
What the heck, dude?
Yeah.
You brought up an interesting topic, but you didn't really say a whole lot about it.
If you go too deep,
deep dives,
it's going to lead you to Aleister Crowley. So watch out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Josh, kidding.
No, we touched on the main things.
We hit the big points and get your brain juices going. And
because this is such a big story, it has been for 1,000 years. I know there's going to be that one person out there that's just 24 hours a day, Jack the Ripper, and good for you.
Yeah.
You do the
eight-hour
episodes. I'm not.
We'll do a recap with them later. They can be one of our next guests, right?
Sure.
Surely.
Yeah. That's all I got.
I'm good with that.
So what do you think, Sean?
What's your
middle-aged moment?
My middle-aged moment? Well, because we talked about the last time, like that we are talking deeply into the subject of death. I had a couple. I'm trying to lighten the mood. Yeah, just a little bit. So I'm going back into, oh, good Lord, the 1500s, 1600s from a poem by John Donne. I believe I'm saying that right.
Crazy John Donne.
He lived from 1572 to 1631, so just a few years ago, not too far back. You guys are going to love this. So Donne was an English poet, lawyer, and priest. He was considered to be one of the most famous metaphysical poets. Did you know there was such a thing? He was one. That is, he invented or used unusual metaphors in his poetry. Donne went to two universities starting at age 11 for a total of 6 years, but didn't complete a degree. He wrote, and you guys are going to know this one.
I had one of my money back if I was his parent.
I know, exactly. Yeah, back then, you know.
You went 6 years and couldn't get a degree.
It cost 4 shillings.
You're 15 years old.
I don't even know what that is. But
yeah.
So it's For Whom the Bell Tolls, right? So we all know this. We've at least heard.
Metallica? Yeah.
Exactly. You know what? I almost did that just for you guys, and I'm like, no. So no man is an island entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thine own or of thine friends were, each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore, sin not to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. So it's just talking about how precious life is, how we're all connected, basically. But that was his way of saying that even back in the 1600s, right? The other thing I had to, I have to put some light on this subject, right? So, and I know you guys are going to think this is funny. Another song that I heard as I'm going through this middle age mini, right? I know last time I did Tim McGraw, and I'm not going to read the lyrics or anything, but it was Don't Fear the Reaper, Blue Oyster Cult. So that made me think a couple funny things.
You want me to do the cowbell, don't you?
More cowbell. So that's it, the funniest 5 minutes of Saturday Live with Christopher Walken, Will Ferrell. And more cowbell. I need more cowbell.
That was a good one.
Was that good?
That was good.
So the funny thing about that song is I have always thought of, now I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. I almost thought about not even bringing this up. But Blue Oyster Cult, they're a Long Island, Long Island band. You guys probably knew that. Mm-hmm. That was one of my brother's favorite songs. I don't know. I referenced Chad every once in a while, but he loves Don't Fear the Reaper.
Oh, yeah.
So Buck Dharma, the band's founder and one of its chief songwriters, he wrote it because he was feeling very mortal. He said he had just been diagnosed with a heart arrhythmia, and it turned out not to be life-threatening. But they wrote a lot of very meta, you know, physical kind of ideas and very deep. Their lyrics were very deep. But it actually talks, what the song's intending to mean is like two lovers, whether they can transcend their life and still be together in the afterlife. He said he was just feeling very, you know, like I said, like close to death and think about it as own mortality. But a lot of people thought of that song, I did not know this, but as a pro-suicide song. Did you guys ever know that? I did not know that.
I think I heard that once or twice.
You look at the lyrics and you can see, okay, I could see how somebody would think that. But that he's like, no, that's not what I meant at all. When I always hear Don't Fear the Reaper, I always think of live life to the fullest each day. Don't worry about the Reaper. You know, it talks about, 40,000 men and women every day are together in eternity. He was guessing at the number of people that die per day. They said it was back then it would have been about 135,000 a day. Mm. So he was off a bit, but he was just guessing at like 40,000 men and women every day. Mm-hmm. So I think that's interesting. But the point is, as we're talking about death, is that it is, to me, I like that song because when I was listening to it the other day, I'm like, it's making me think like, just enjoy the day to the fullest. Let's calm down. Let's talk, you know, like I said, with all this death talk, we got to have some humor. Got to talk about the cowbell,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then just be, right? Don't fear that Reaper. Don't fear death. It's going to happen. Who knows? It could happen tomorrow. It could happen in 50 years.
I'm saved.
But so. Exactly, right. So it doesn't, yeah, exactly.
Not to get, I know, Creeper's like, oh, it's not.
Like, but yeah, yeah, as long as, you, yeah, exactly. You know where you're going the next life. That's a very good point. So it's don't fear that Reaper, right? And chase your dreams like what we're doing here. So we can instill some inspiration and motivation into this dark topic that we're talking about. So
don't fear the podcast.
And don't fear me singing, because I could have sang all those lyrics, by the way.
We are glad you did
Romeo
not.
Romeo and Juliet. That's good. Together in a turn. No, so I can see
maybe
why.
You want me to do the
good choice not to
see, I can, I can see why
it's like a, Romeo and
people thought it was a suicide song, but yeah. I never thought about that, honestly, like after all these years. Yeah.
Man. You might want to give out the suicide hotline.
Yeah, exactly. And the suicide hotline. I should find out what my brother thought. You know, like, did you ever think of that as a suicide song?
That's cool, though. Yeah, that I've always liked that song, too. I like
anti-suicide, right?
Yeah, I would. That's how I would see it. But anyway.
True.
So that's a middle-aged moment, even as convoluted as it is.
Thank you.
Right. Someone there's a good positive message, right? We're leaping out of
it. It was good. No, I like it. Yeah.
For whom the bell tolls, right? One thing we want to do, coming out of that middle-aged moment, all those dark topic of Jack the Ripper, we want to tell you how to contact us, how to get in touch with us, how to connect with us. So we have an email address. People still use email. I swear they do. It's makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Contact us with ideas, how we're doing, definitely merch orders. Sam's wanted attention, so hi, Sam. Sam can use the Gmail.
Dad's picking on him. He gave you a good shot to the rib.
He's like, dude.
Did a Freddy Krueger to my rib cage.
Pay attention to me. You can find us and Sam on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Instagram, Facebook, it is Middle Age and Creeped Out. We have groups there you can join. And we're TikTokers, so TikTok, it's at Mako Podcast. That's two A's still. What were you going to say? You going to say something, Arnie?
Do you notice when he goes every time?
TikTokers?
We're TikTokers.
I do it every time. I got to stop doing it.
We're Facebook. We're on Instagram. And we're on
TikTokers.
Something about TikTok. Just
it gets the, I'm trying to relate to the youngins. And I'm not doing a good job in my
home.
I told my daughter when I left, I'm going to try to do everything I can not to embarrass you. But I know every time I probably do. She's probably dead. Oh, my God. Please stop. You can also check out our Tuesday Terrors. They're on Tuesdays, right? Todd's yes, Tuesday yeah. Terrors. And
we've
Sean's
been pretty
Tuesday
consistent on Tuesday Terrors.
On Tuesday. Being on Tuesdays.
On Wednesday.
Yeah. We might have changed it to a Thursday Terror once in a while. But no. Tuesday Terrors. Every Tuesday, you can check them out. They drop on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We do under 3-minute stories, just, right?
Yes.
They're on the creepy horse platform. Huh? They're on the TikTok platform.
That's right. Yeah. They're on the TikTok.
So they're 3 minutes.
The TikTok time limit.
The Instagram. Yeah, exactly. They're under restrictions.
We're limited. Yeah. And
that's why we have to be concise, right? We'll end it at that, except for however you want to listen to us on the listening platforms. There's tons out there. We're on them. Look us up.
So when a friend or somebody says, "Oh, are they on Spotify?" Yes.
Yes, they are.
Are they on Google? Yes. Are they on
iTunes?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Are they on radio? Just say yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They're on everything. Yeah, you can imagine.
Even
come find
Audible.
Us. Come find us in our podcast, right?
I feel big time when we're on Audible.
Oh my gosh! No kidding.
My wife listens to all her books on. Mm-hmm. I say books on tape, but Audible.
Like, Audible books.
And I said, "Honey, we're on Audible too." And we're on iTunes that you have to.
We're very, very interested.
I love my bride, so I won't pick on her too much.
Thank you, Amy.
But anyway, thank you for those announcements, Sean.
My gosh, no problem. It's my pleasure.
Oh, Nate, help us, man.
I think we've been stabbing at this one long
enough. Oh! Oh! Yo.
That's a rat.
Right in the jugular.
That is a rat. Man, he did it surgically, too.
He did, yeah.
Very precise, but that's a wrap. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to us. This was episode 48. Cannot believe it. We are reaching the 50.
Two from 50.
So, until next time, Creepies, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.